language lovers. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Speaking Tongues, the podcast in conversation with multilinguals. I'm your host, El Sharice. Today, I'm bringing you the fourth episode in this summer's summer school series, where all summer long, we're having conversations with language learners. In this episode, I'm speaking with Ilaria, a professional language teacher and instructor, and the founder of Languages in Progress. Ilaria is originally from Sicily, and today she's telling me all about the Sicilian language, some bits about Sicilian culture, and if you listen all the way through, you'll get to hear us speak with one another in Italian. And friends, Ilaria is incredibly talented, so aside from Italian and Sicilian, she also speaks Russian and Spanish, and she's learning Arabic and Polish. Amazing, right? I urge you to check out her Languages in Progress Instagram page, where she has posted videos of herself speaking all of these languages in the same conversation. It's phenomenal to see someone switch languages so fast. To find Ilaria and her language videos, be sure to click the links in the show notes. And as always, if you like the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts to help language lovers like you find the show. Allora, let's chat. Ciao Ilaria, come stai?
Ciao, bene, grazie. Tu?
Bene, bene. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting.
I'm really excited to talk to you about languages. So,
wow, me too.
Yeah, so let's get to it. I like to start each conversation with the same question. And that question is, what is your first language and how many languages do you speak?
Okay, so I can say that my first language is Italian, but also Sicilian. So we can consider both languages as my mother tongue. And so in total, I think I speak five languages, Sicilian, Italian, English, Spanish, and Russian. But now I'm currently studying Polish and Arabic too. I just started.
You just started Arabic?
Yes.
Oh
yes,
my God.
So I'm learning the alphabet. I'm learning how to read. It's quite impossible, but okay.
That's very difficult. That's so exciting. We'll definitely come back to that later because I love Arabic too, and I'm dying to learn. So when you were growing up, you grew up in Sicily.
Yes, exactly.
And what was your experience like learning languages when you were growing up?
Well, I think it's the same experience that the majority of Italians have at school. Of course, we start learning English. Now I think they start learning before. At my time, when I was at the primary school, I was like eight, I think. So when I was eight, I started learning English at school, and then I kept studying for many, many times. English for us is the main foreign language we learn. For a short period, I studied also French, just 3 years in middle school. We call it scuola media. Maybe you heard this terminology. It's from 11 years old to 13. And then at high school, well, here it depends on the school you choose. I chose a school in which we studied Latin and English. So normally people study English for many, many years, like 10 years or more at school.
Okay. When did you realize that you wanted to learn to speak more than one language?
I think I always wanted to speak more than one language, especially English. At the beginning was English. I can say that it's my first love, and I fell in love with the other languages thanks to English. First, because I wanted to listen to English music or American music and understand what they said. So the exercise I used to do was listening to the song and then looking for the lyrics to understand what they were saying. So in this way, I learned so much vocabulary, so many words. And then, well, at school, I studied grammar and so on. But maybe the turning point was in high school, thanks to my English teacher, who was amazing, was a very good teacher and person too. He's Italian, but he used to speak English as, I don't know, almost a native speaker. And he transmitted me the passion for this language. I remember that he always said to us in class, when you speak English, you have to imagine to be English. the meaning was you have to try to be as a native. Well, of course, it's not the same. I'm not native, but you have to commit yourself to get to the point in which people will ask you, where are you from? And not simply, you are Italian, because it's clear that you are not native, no? So the goal is speaking and thinking you are a native, or pretending to be native while you speak, to have more or less the same level, or to reach the level soon or later. So I think my turning point was there. He transmitted this great passion for languages, and then I was interested to learn more at university.
I think that's a really good method that your teacher introduced to you.
Yes, really. And it's also unconventional for Italy. So I think the majority of teachers, at least in public school, don't use this method. They made students study grammar and that's it. And like there is not enough time for conversation. Instead, it was totally different. I think he was the best teacher in my school, the best English teacher, at least in my school. He wanted us to speak, really. And sometimes the class was simply speaking about what you did yesterday, for example. Tell me your day or something like this. Right. So it was really cool.
That's amazing. So when you were, I guess, I want to say pretending like you're English to speak English, yeah. What kind of activities would you do like on your own?
Alone, of course, you can listen a lot because you have, my teacher always taught us to take attention, to be careful with the pronunciation. So it's not important just the grammar. Grammar is important, of course, to communicate the message. But if your grammar is perfect and your pronunciation is awful, maybe the person won't understand what you mean. So you need to listen a lot. You need to practice to speak, to try, even if you are afraid. I think this is one of the biggest problems for Italian speakers, for example, to be afraid to speak in public or in any case with a native speaker, because maybe you will make a mistake or I don't know, you are not fluent enough. So he pushed us to speak as much as possible, also making mistakes at the beginning. It's fine, no problem. But the important is speaking. So transmitting the message and try to commit yourself also in the pronunciation, not just the grammar, for example. So what can you do alone is practicing listening to native speakers. So to content in which there are native speakers, or watching movies, then trying to speak in a real context with people in the street, or when you travel with tourists, for example.
Yeah.
Kind of activity. Yes, I am the same. I apply the same philosophy to all the other languages. So when I speak Spanish, I don't have to sound too Italian, not because it's wrong, but simply because I'm not speaking Italian. So speaking a different language at the same way, so with the same accent, for example, the same tone of voice, is wrong. We can say accent, it's not wrong. But you need to try, at least, not to sound like more or less a native speaker. Then, of course, it requires time. Also, removing the accent and having a good pronunciation requires years. That's normal, of course. It's not just 1 week or 1 month.
But right.
You have to try.
So I want to talk about Sicilian language. Yeah. And I read when I was doing research for our conversation that I saw that there were three different dialects of Sicilian. Is that true?
No, it's not three. No, it's not the right number. There are a lot of different variety of Sicilian. I cannot count it, actually. You have to imagine that actually, well, you know, for sure you know that in Italy, each region has a main dialect. But the problem is, if we can call it problem, that from city to city, it changes. So there are some differences. So actually, I don't know. I can quantify how many dialects or how many type of Sicilian there are. For sure, we can understand each other. So if I meet a person from Palermo, for example, I'm from, my city is called Modica, is in the southeast corner of Sicily on the coast, not very far from the island of Malta. So my city and Palermo are quite far away each other, but I can perfectly understand a person from Palermo and he or she can understand me. The problem can be with some vocabulary or everyday words, for example. These can be different, and not just from my city to between my city and Palermo, that okay, can be understandable. We are very far away each other, but also from city to city in the same area. So in my province, for example, which is Ragusa, cities which are very close to each other have different terminology, sometimes different accent, first of all, but okay, and different way to pronounce things, but we can understand each other. So if you ask me the number, I cannot say. It's too big, the number. It's not free, that's free, no. No. Yeah, it depends on the area. And also, I think depends also on the language that or the civilization that influenced the city. Because, you know, Sicilian is a language that comes from so many different languages. Well, Italian, of course, then Latin, Greek, French, Spanish, Arabic. So it's a mix of all this stuff. And then depends also where this civilization stayed more and why how they influenced the city. So it depends also on this.
I would not have thought that, but that makes sense. So would you say that maybe, so I'm thinking of like the South where like in Agrigento, mm-hmm. where there's a lot yeah. of like Greek temples, is it mm-hmm. more, is Sicilian more influenced by Greek maybe in yeah. that part? And then in Arabic, maybe more influenced by Arabic in maybe another part?
Yes, I think so, because there are these differences, so we have to justify this difference in some way. Then the main things are the same, so it's possible to have a conversation. What is different is mainly the vocabulary sometimes, how to pronounce some words, and also the idioms. For example, if a person in some area has a city has an idiom about a specific food I don't eat because I'm from a different area of Sicily. We don't cook that food. We don't have it. Maybe I don't understand it, but I don't understand the general sense. The person can explain it and then it's fine. I will remember. So these are the only problems.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so for example, if I remember well, you've been to Palermo, right? Or nearby Palermo?
Sì, Palermo.
Exactly. So one of the typical food is panelle. Le panelle, maybe you ate it.
Yeah.
We don't have it here in my city. Well, I know what is it because of course they are very famous. Of course, then I know people from Palermo. Okay. But like, I think a child from my city, maybe he or she doesn't even know what it doesn't mean because it's not typical food from my area simply. And also the opposite can be. There is a traditional dish in my city we prepare and it's mostly unknown by the other provinces of Sicily because it's just in my area. So probably because, I don't know, one of the civilization brought it or taught to people how to cook it just in that part and then they went away, I don't know, actually, for historical reasons, I think, in any case. Some example of words derived from other languages, in Sicilian especially, derived from the civilization which invaded the island. For sure, Spanish, we have many words derived from Spanish. I can think about the word yesterday. Well, in Italian is ieri. Instead, in Sicilian is ayeri, and in Spanish is ayer. So also Italian was influenced by this word because it's very similar. So Spanish ayer, Sicilian ayeri, just one letter more. So this is from Spanish, for example, or from Arabic. Well, I think that also the word gelato in Italian has something in common with the Arabic correspondent word because I read that the Turkish brought the ice cream in Sicily. Sorry. Mm-hmm. So probably this word also is derived from Arabic or Turkish. Speaking of Turkish instead, I discovered some years ago that we are using a word that is still present in Turkish language, the modern one. We use it in Sicilian, and this word is chikis. And we use this word when you want to kick animal away, for example, wild animal, especially cats. I don't know why, but it's something that you learn when you are a child and you say it without knowing the meaning. And in Turkish, it means exit. So it makes perfectly sense because when you want to kick somebody, not with people actually, but just with animals, you want to say to them, okay, go away because this is not your place, chikis. And it means exit. I was shocked when I discovered the meaning in Turkish.
That's really interesting.
And then, let me think, another one that I discovered recently from Arabic is the word mischino, in Sicilian, mischino. So this word derives from Arabic, and in Arabic it means like poor person, financially poor. In Sicilian, instead, we changed a little bit the meaning, so it's not about money anymore. So mischino, but it's like, I have compassion for you, or something like this. It's a pity what is happening to you, something like this, to say that I'm sorry for a person who is having a problem, but not related to money anymore. Instead, in Arabic, it's more poor people, financially poor.
Would mischino be comparable in Italian to like poverino?
Sì, exactly. There is another word, which is a false friend, very similar, meschino, but the meaning is different. Una persona meschina is like a bad person. But poverino, yes, it's the perfect correspondent in Italian. Not because of money, but, oh, I'm sorry for this person.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense. I love that Sicilian is so influenced by its history. Mm-hmm. And like when I visited, it made sense to me, because here in the States, Sicilian Americans are just so proud of like being Sicilian, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not just like, and maybe it's the same like in Sicily, but like if someone is here, like Italian American friends that I've had, they're like, oh, you know, we're Italian American. But Sicilian friends will always say, no, we're Sicilian. And they're so proud of that. And when I went to Sicily, I feel like I understood, because the history of the island is so unique and it's so rich with history that influences in the modern world too.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Because if I think about myself, I think that the first information I give about myself when somebody asks me, well, if it's a foreign person, so not Italian, I tend to say I'm Italian and that's it. But an Italian, I always mark the difference. No, I'm Sicilian. Yes,
right.
From Sicily. We always say it. Yes, quite proud about it. Yes, it's true. Totally true.
I've heard that a lot of older people in Sicily, they really only speak Sicilian. Is that true?
Yeah, depends on the city, of course. Maybe now the older people are a little bit more modern than my grandmother was. But yes, especially in little cities, probably they speak just in Sicilian. They are so used to speak Sicilian that they automatically speak it. They understand Italian. I'm convinced they can understand it, but I don't know. I cannot say that they refuse to use it. Not like, for example, in Catalonia, in Spain, where people, they strongly want to speak Catalan and that's it, because they refuse Spanish. No, it's
right.
Not like this. Simply, they don't think about it. It's their own language. They've been spoken this language for forever, so they use it. But like in big cities, no.
Do you have to be very careful about, you know, maybe speaking, you know, proper Italian in front of certain people, whatever proper means, you know? But do you feel like Sicilians feel that kind of pressure?
Well, it's something we do in general. We try to adapt our conversation depending on the person we have in front, even if we are speaking our mother tongue, and that's it, so Italian or English, for example. So with our friends, we are a little bit more relaxed in general, no? So maybe we use more swears or something like this instead. At work, we don't. But yes, maybe I can say that I don't feel any pressure. But since I moved from Sicily to Turin, when I speak Italian, I try to speak perfectly. I mean, I don't want people to understand immediately that I'm from Sicily, not because there is anything wrong, but because actually we should speak the standard language, so the standard Italian. I understand that it's very difficult to speak standard Italian without any accent, but this is what we should do. So when speaking Italian, trying to not to use regional vocabulary, for example, because maybe other people cannot understand it, even if some people do it by accident. Like my boyfriend, he is from Torino, and where I live now. And sometimes he says words to me that I don't understand because he thinks it's Italian, instead it's not. Dialect. So it does it just by accident. So I try not to use regionalism. And if there is any mistake that I know the Sicilian always do speaking in Italian because of the dialect, because also the dialect a little bit not damaged, but creates some troubles speaking perfectly Italian. Right. I try to avoid everything and having less accent possible, of course. Accent, it's not a crime. So even if people understand that I'm from Sicily, Italy, it's fine. But we should speak this standard language. Also, especially when we speak another language. So as I said before, I don't want to sound too Italian while speaking English, for example. So for me, the greatest joy is when people ask me, where are you from in general? Because they cannot understand it. So it means more or less I removed a part of my accent. Maybe some people feel pressure. Some Sicilians feel a sort of pressure related to this topic. So they have to speak Italian perfectly and they don't feel, and they think that their accent will be judged by other people, something like this. As to me, no, I don't feel any pressure, but I want to be as perfect as possible. But it is just me.
I understand. Tell me some basic characteristics of Sicilian language that distinguish it from standardized Italian, and maybe some other Southern Italian dialects like Barese or Napolitano, okay. if you can.
Yes, okay. So, of course, I refer to the type of Sicilian I speak, so from my city. I can tell you there are some differences in the pronunciation. For example, in Italian, when we use in Italian the difficult sound that for sure you studied, L, that it's very difficult for foreigners, L, for example, in the word figlio.
No? Figlio, sì. Yes. Oh my God.
That's difficult. Every time my students are like, seriously, I have to learn this. Yes, because there is also the article gli, no? So eventually you have to learn to pronounce it. For example, in Italian, we have this gli. In Sicilian, we don't have it. But I think we replace this sound with another sound, which is a sort of g. It's a sort of double G, H. For example, the same word, figlio, in Italian, in Sicilian, would be figlio.
Figlio.
Exactly.
Okay.
For Spanish speakers, this y, it's similar, but not exactly the same, or la eye, the double L, which is pronounced eye in Spanish. Well, I think we took that sound, we modified a little bit, and then it became the Sicilian. So figlio, for example. Or another difference can be, for example, the double L in Italian. For example, the word bello, the adjective bello, often becomes a double D in Sicilian, but not always, but often. For example, bello in Italian would be bedu, this round D,
bedu. Bedu.
Yes. Often, probably you heard this expression when you were in Sicily, Sicilia bedda. Sicilia bedda, beautiful.
Si, city. Yeah. Okay.
So we transform this double L in double T. Then characteristic sound, for example, is strong S, especially when there are other consonants or there is another consonant after it. For example, in the word Italian word scuola. So the S shouldn't be so strong, scuola, so light S. In Sicilian is scuola, sh, this sh, very strong.
Scuola.
Exactly, a scuola, la scuola, no? So Italian sounds a little bit more elegant, no? In fact, this is a characteristic that it's, for me, I hate to hear when people speak in Italian using this sh very strong. So I immediately understand they are from Sicily. This is an example of things you should remove from your pronunciation. You should take care of this when speaking Italian, because in Italian it's not scuola, but scuola.
Scuola.
Exactly. So it's a lighter. And the same way, also the TR, this group of consonants, it's very strong in Sicilian. For example, in the word padre, madre, Italian, padre, madre. In Sicilian would be patri, matri, cho, very, very strong.
Patri, matri?
Yes, ma patri, ma matri, my mother, my father. It's very,
wow. Strong.
Very strong. Instead, about the difference between my dialect, or the dialect of my city, and other nearby cities, I can think about a diphthong we use a lot. A diphthong is a group of vowels, normally, or a couple of vowels, at least.
Yeah.
Well, we have in a lot of words the diphthong U-O. For example, in the word Italian word sorella, in Sicilian would be, in my dialect, would be suoro. Ma suoro, my sister, mia sorella, in Italian.
Suoro.
So, yes, perfect. You're very good. So this word, okay, I would say, I don't have any sister, but I would say ma suoro. Ma, it's the possessive mine. So a person instead from another city, which is close, very close to mine, and it's actually on the coast. This city is called Pozzano. It's a seaside city. Instead of U-O, they use another diphthong, similar but not exactly the same. So I understand the meaning, but I would never use this combination. The diphthong is U-E instead of U-O. So the same word, suoro, they say suero. Masuero, the meaning it's the same, but I can immediately understand the person is not from my city, but it's from this particular one, Pozzallo. Even if I think there are just 15 or 20 kilometers between them and us.
Wow.
For this reason, I said before, from city to city, it changes, but this doesn't compromise the message. I understand, but it's a sort of, not accent, but a sort of recognizing point. I understand they are from another city, no? For example, the vocabulary also. For example, the word ragazzi, Italian word ragazzi, in my city would be picciotti, always with this U-O, picciotti.
Picciotti?
Yes, perfect. In other cities, always inside the same area, so very close to mine, would be Carusi. I Carusi. So Carusi. For me, it's like not in natural. I understand it because I know people from that city, but I would never use this word. I say I picciotti, so I ragazzi, no? So for this reason. Or another one that came to my mind is, for example, difference in the same verb or in the same word, difference between a strong sound or a sweet sound of the same letter. So for sure you know that the letter C, la C in Italian, has different pronunciation. Sì. Can be soft or can be strong with the H, no? So in Sicilian it's the same. For example, in my city, the verb accianare, which is the verb salire, in Italian, accianare. Sì. So we say accianare, c, soft. In another city, very close to mine, instead they say acchianare, c. So it sounds like K, no? Stronger sound. So the meaning is the same, salire, no?
Salire.
Salire in Italian, completely different. I remember the first time I heard this verb by the person, a friend of my parents, I asked my mother, why do they speak like this? Why do they say accianare? What is this? Well, I was a child, of course, but I understand the meaning. It's simply, it sounded strange the first time, but once you know, once you learn it, it's totally fine. You can understand the person.
So how, you tell me if it's possible, how does someone learn Sicilian? Can it be learned if, like someone like me who understands basic Italian, how can someone learn Sicilian?
Well, we learn Sicilian when we are babies, so simply listening to our parents speaking. And now there are many people from my age or even younger that don't speak a lot Sicilian because their parents don't speak it at home, because maybe they don't know it or they don't want to speak. I don't know. My parents always spoke in Sicilian and in Italian with me and also my brother. So we speak it. For a person who is not Sicilian, I think it's possible. The only way, I think, is by speaking with people, listening to people speaking and try to reproduce the sound. So asking for the help to pronounce words, also the meaning, because the problem is that we don't go to school to study Sicilian. So there are not Sicilian courses at school. Right. At least so far. I heard many times people from other regions, so politicians from other regions of Italy, claiming that they wanted to introduce courses, these kind of courses, because it's important. And it is important, in my opinion, but they never did. So it's something you learn orally.
Do you notice that the younger generation, you know, kids, teenagers, do you notice that they are trying to hold on to that Sicilian language, or are they less interested? Are they going more towards Italian?
No, they don't speak it so much as I do, for example, or my generation does. It depends also, of course, of how your parents and if your parents taught you. So if your parents don't speak Sicilian at home, where you are supposed to learn it if you don't study it at school? So in the official context at school, or in any case, in general life, you are supposed to speak Italian. Like I remember my mom is a teacher too, and she always corrected her students when speaking Sicilian in class, because you are not supposed to speak a language that not everybody understand, and which is not the official language at school. But outside school, of course, yes, with your friends, with your family, in like a joyful moment or when you are angry, it's fine. But the official language is just one, Italian. So yeah. If your parents don't transmit you this tradition, I think you are not looking for, I'm Sicilian, yes, I want to study Sicilian. No, it's more natural. It's connected with the teaching you have at home. So what your parents do at home with you, I think.
Right. One thing I always liked about Italy, and I've been all over Italy, I've traveled all over Italy, and I love how each region feels so different. Mm-hmm. And even if, you know, people are speaking the same Italian, and you know it, well, for me, I know I'm in Italy speaking the same Italian, but every region feels so different, and I think is really special and independent, even though it is a unified country now. But I love that little regional things of Italy, you know, they get carried on to different generations. And I really hope that's not lost with the younger generation. And
yeah, it's true. It's true what you say, that we feel unique. Each region, everyone is proud to be from, I don't know, Roma, Napoli, Sicily, wherever city they are from. It's true. But it depends on the history of Italy too, if you think about it, because yes, we are an unified country, but how did people unify this country? So it was unified by force, by the king, the reign of Piemonte, and they decided, well, I'm grateful because many people died to create a unified country, but they created the country first, and then they thought about the consequences. We had so many different dominations in that moment. Mm-hmm. So you had to remove from people's mind the old culture, the old traditions, and to adapt it to the new one, the Italian new culture. It was not easy. In fact, we are all different for this reason.
I'm going to try to ask you a question in Italian.
Yeah.
And you don't have to answer me in Italian, because I think I'm so rusty, I don't know if I would understand you if you, but try. Can we try?
Can I try? Yes,
okay. So talking about Sicily, quando visitato Sicilia, it's 2023, anni fa, alcune persone mi hanno detto che nessuno in Sicilia parla italiano e nessuno mi capirà. And when I went there, I was so nervous. Did I say it right? I should ask you that first before I continue.
Sì, sei bravissima, parli benissimo in italiano.
I was so So let me just translate. I was saying when I visited Sicily 3 years ago, a lot of people told me that when I go there, no one will understand me speaking Italian. And, you know, because, you know, I think the misconception that people have here in the U.S. is that Sicilians only speak Sicilian. And when I went there, I did not, I was so nervous because, as you can hear, my Italian is not perfect. And, you know, I was by myself. So I was really nervous that, like, no one would understand me and what would I do? But then I got there and everybody I met, oh, I was in Palermo, but everybody spoke Italian. I met a lot of people who speak English and mm-hmm. I didn't hear any dialect at all.
Allora, in italiano, ti rispondo in italiano.
Sì.
Secondo me non è vero. Non è vero che i siciliani non parlano italiano. È una cosa sbagliata da pensare, o sì. da dire. Perché Palermo è una città molto, molto turistica. Quindi in una città così ci sono tantissime persone che vengono dagli Stati Uniti, dalla Francia, dalla Spagna, da tutto il mondo. Tutti parlano in italiano, ovviamente. Qualcuno parla anche in inglese, spero. Però quello che può succedere è che le persone anziane, sì, non parlino perfettamente in italiano o più che altro ti parlino in dialetto per una questione di abitudine, più che altro.
Sì, ho capito. Sì, sì, sì.
Perfetto, quindi non è vero, non è assolutamente vero. Tutte le persone che io conosco, quando sanno che stanno parlando con una persona che non è italiana, non parlano in dialetto assolutamente. Se lo fanno, per sbaglio, magari una parola per sbaglio, ma immediatamente parlano di nuovo in italiano, perché siamo abituati a parlare in italiano. L'italiano è la lingua ufficiale dello Stato. Sì. Il siciliano è per noi la nostra lingua madre anche, ma non è per i contesti ufficiali, non è per la scuola, per esempio, per il lavoro, e non è per i turisti, ovviamente. Sarebbe troppo cattivo parlare in siciliano.
Yeah, I was thinking that too, because, and I want to translate, I'm thinking back on what you said, but it's been...
Just the summary, maybe.
Yeah, in summary, you're saying that it's not true. And that mm-hmm. people will speak to you, especially in the big city where you have a lot of, in, like Palermo, where you have a lot of people who come from different parts of the world. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, maybe in smaller cities, people mainly speak in dialect, but they wouldn't do it if they could. They would not, they would speak Italian because I'm a tourist. Is that basically what you're saying?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. And I thought about that too. And I don't think I expected anyone to greet me in the Sicilian language, but I noticed that I didn't even, you know, walking around in the street, groups of people, I'm sitting in a bar, I'm sitting in a cafe, at dinner. I didn't even hear people speaking amongst themselves, in a dialect. And the only time I heard it, believe it or not, was as I was leaving in the airport. There were these two men behind me and I hear them. I'm like, I kind of understand what they're saying, but it kind of sounds like Arabic, but I understand a few words. And then I turned around, I looked at them and I said, man, this is like the worst time for me to finally hear dialect, because I wanted to talk to them, you know, but it's like I'm in an airport and we're, you know, we don't have a lot of time, but it was that was the only time, and it was very, very, very quick. Like I said, I think that we have the misconception here that Italian is not spoken in Sicily, and obviously that's not the case. So I'm glad to hear you say that, so that, you know, someone listening who wants to go to Sicily, and I highly recommend it, you know, they won't be nervous like I was about going.
No, don't be nervous. I don't know why people say such things, but just to discourage other people to travel, I don't know, to joke, I don't know why. It's like when I've been the first time to New York, like I remember it was a school project, they told me something similar, like that Americans speak in slang, so you won't understand anything. But it's not true. It depends on the person.
That's true.
I don't know why people try to discourage other people to do things. This is very common in the general context of languages. Like I always meet people who ask me, why do you study Russian? Why do you study other languages so difficult? Why do you have to discourage people or, I don't know, tell such things? Americans speak only slang. No, it's not true.
I don't really get it either, but I'm thank you for indulging me and letting me try to speak Italian with you. Tell me about the other languages that you speak and how you got on the path to speaking them, and like what inspired you, and you know, just tell me about, because you have so many.
Well, so English, as I said before, it's my first love. I always loved this language, maybe because of music, also because of the influence on my teacher at high school. I think I started really caring about it at high school, and this person influenced me a lot. So he influenced me also my decisions for the future. So the type of faculty at university that I chose, I think. So I always like it, and then it's super important. It's international language. So for me now, for young people, knowing that some young people don't speak in English for several reasons, or they don't even try, it's unacceptable. You have to. So I don't demand perfection, especially if it's languages is not your field, or you are not teacher, or in any case you don't work with languages, but knowing the minimum, like the having at least, I don't know, B1 level in English to speak with people, tourism, to travel, to communicate yourself. I think if you want to live in the actual world, you need to speak English at least. There are many courses, there are many ways online with physical teacher and so on, schools. So it's unacceptable. It's super important. Mm-hmm. So English for me was always on the table. Then the second foreign language I learned was Spanish. I chose it at university, so I started studying at university, not before. I chose it because I like the sound. Spanish is a very beautiful language, and also because of my root. Well, in general, as we said before, Sicily was dominated by Spanish. So in our language, we have many words from Spanish language, and also my family, my mother's family was from Spain. So like we have to go back in time, of course, but she's Italian. Also, my grandmother was Italian, but in her roots, in her blood, there is a bit of Spanish blood. So I was interested in this. I want to learn something about it and see if I like the language. I liked so much. I love it. Now I speak Spanish almost every day, fortunately. So.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, yeah. With my students, also with my friend. I have a very dear friend here in Torino. She's Argentinian. So we speak in Spanish. She also knows Italian because she was my student. We met because she was my Italian student, and then we became friends. So when we are together just to chill and to stay together, we speak in Spanish. So I'm very lucky. Then another language I decided to study at university was Russian. I chose it because it was completely different from any European language. And it was new. It was difficult, strange, exotic. I don't know. It was fascinating. I like studying difficult things. And also the alphabet is so fascinating. I really love the Cyrillic alphabet. So I decided to try it. Actually, when I finished university, I wasn't able to speak properly, completely, absolutely not. So when I finished, I started studying alone, on my own. Mm-hmm. And yes, it has been 3 years, yes, that I started studying alone Russian. Now I have a B1 level. I'm trying to go towards B2 because I want to improve as much as possible. I have friends from Russia, and I try to improve myself speaking with them and listening to podcasts and to study grammar and so on. I really like it. It's so beautiful. People think that Russian is also strong, hard language, is unpleasant to hear. For me,
yeah.
I don't know, it's music. I like it. I really love it. Then when finally, I don't want to say I mastered Russian because I still have to learn, of course, but now I'm confident that I can speak with my friends, and I've been to Russia once, I could manage it. So I could speak with people in the restaurant and so on. I could read everything in the street. So this love for Russian culture then brought me to Polish language that I'm currently studying.
Mm-hmm.
Started in last December, if I'm not wrong, so just a few months. And it's very similar. I mean, it's similar because it's Slavic language too. The alphabet is different because I don't know why they decided not to use the Cyrillic alphabet, which is perfect for the sounds of this language.
Right.
Instead, they decided to use the Latin alphabet plus some new letters, very difficult to pronounce. But there are so many similarities. So many things work the same. Many words are exactly the same, just written in the Latin version. So I found myself knowing a lot of vocabulary without even studying, and knowing, reading and understanding many things. So it was great. And then Polish is quite difficult. I think it's one of the most difficult European languages.
I heard that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that your time learning Polish is more difficult than your time learning Russian?
Well, when I started learning Russian, every topic was, at the beginning, was impossible. I remember I thought, oh, that's so hard. It's impossible to learn. But then I did. So step by step, I could overcome my difficulties. Now, I think I have an advantage because Russian helps me a lot. So reading, especially in reading and vocabulary. So I read one word and I say, okay, this is, in Russian, it's like this. It's very similar. So I memorize very quickly. The pronunciation, it's difficult. It's very difficult. The alphabet also difficult. And also the fact I know Russian sometimes misleads me because maybe I think, oh, this word must be in this way. Instead of no, they have differences. But I think it helps. It helps. So when you start learning the first Slavic language, it's very difficult. But then the second one, it's a bit easier.
Okay. That's good to know. I wouldn't have known that. I never attempted to learn Russian. I did attempt to learn the alphabet once,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't get very far, but you know, Russian is I've heard it's easy to learn for some people, and I've heard it's difficult to learn for some people, but knowing that the second language you learn after Russian is easier because you have the Russian. I think that is really good to know.
Yeah, it's good. Well, the fact that the judging if language is difficult or not for you depends a lot on your mother tongue and also on how many languages you already speak. So, example, you speak Italian, so for you it would be easier learning Spanish or French, for example.
Right.
And for both me and you, Russian is complicated because Slavic language, different alphabet, different system, because they have cases, declinations, like Latin. So it's something different from our native languages. But for a Ukrainian person, for example, from Ukraine, no, it's easier because the system is the same. Or a Polish person, for example, it's easier. They struggle with Italian or, I don't know, with other Romance languages because different system, different features.
Let me ask you this, because I said we'd get back to it early on in the episode, but you're looking at Arabic now. You're studying Arabic now. So, and that's also a completely different alphabet. Mm-hmm. Have you been able to, I guess, does your ability to understand Russian alphabet and what you did to help yourself learn this Russian alphabet, are you using those same techniques to learn Arabic, the Arabic alphabet, and is it helping, or is it, do you have to find like a new technique?
No, actually no, because it's totally different, and the system I learned Russian was I simply repeated the letters. I wrote it many times. So in Arabic, the problem is that they have another concept. I mean, they have the letters, so the alphabet, like in Russian, like in Italian, in English, but every letter changes depending on the position on the word. So the alphabet consists in 28 letters, but you, for each letter, you have the form of the letter alone. So when you have to spell a name, for example, then the form of the letter at the beginning of the word, in the middle, and at the end. And the shape is a little bit different. For some letters, completely different. So you have to recognize them inside the word, of course, to be able to read. So this, it's very difficult. In Russian, it's not like this. You can have a difference between some letters sometimes when you write in cursive, okay, but not so many differences. Instead, in Arabic, no, you have to adapt your mind to this system. So you have to learn four shapes for each letter of the alphabet.
Oh my
goodness.
This
was new for me. Yes, this was new for me and quite shocking. But well, now I learned how to read. Well, I forgot sometimes. I forgot some letters and I cannot recognize it yet. I need to practice more and more, of course. Then, of course, they write from right to left. But this is easy, actually. I didn't have any difficulty on this. Another difficult, I was forgetting, this is huge. They have just three vowels. And when the vowel is short, so the pronunciation is short, they don't write it inside the word. So you have just consonants.
Oh.
So it's difficult for a person who is not native speaker understanding which should I use. Should I say A, E, or any other? So basically you have to learn the words and you have to practice and then it would be more or less easier. But there are many challenges at the beginning. In Russian, I didn't have so many challenges at the beginning, at least.
Wow. That is like a brand new adventure, I think.
For crazy people, yes.
I want to learn Arabic too. And I think one day I'll try to learn the basics of it.
Yeah.
At least try to learn. So you have learned so many languages and you also teach, right? Mm-hmm. You have students. What is it like being on the teacher side?
Well, it's difficult. Because I feel the responsibility. Well, I don't work in the public school like my mom does. She works in a public school. I don't. I'm a private teacher, so I'm a freelancer. I have some collaboration with some companies or private schools here in Turin. So it means they call me for to teach in their school or in their company because probably they have foreign employees, so mainly for Italian. And then I have my own students for Italian language, English, and Spanish. So they come to my house and we have class together. So I feel the responsibility, I was saying, because these people trust me and they pay me, of course, to know, to learn, to improve. They have goals. So, example, the majority of people come to for their work. So they are working in a company or they have to do a project and they need English, for example. Or they want to move to Spain because they have a job opportunity and they have to learn Spanish and so on. And then also foreigners, they moved to Italy, they have to adapt to live here. And of course, they need Italian language. So I feel responsibility because they are trusting me or they even have exams because sometimes I have university students, so they have exams, for example, so they need to pass their exam. That's for me very important. I want them to improve. I want them to use fluently and to be confident when speaking in English or Italian or in Spanish. So it's very important for me. So it's challenging for this reason. Then you have to understand the person you have in front. Not everybody learns in the same way.
Of course.
So it cannot be standardized course like at school. Unfortunately, according to my experience, public school or even university offers standard courses. So the same for everyone. And the teacher cannot wait for you because, of course, they have a schedule to respect.
Right.
Instead, I try to be flexible. I try to analyze the person I have in front because I want to reach the goal the person wants. and I try to adapt the course to this person. Also, sometimes they ask me for specific things. I don't know, I want to learn the vocabulary of, I don't know, bartender, because I want to become bartender, so I need to these words in English. Okay, so I try to adapt the class to this need, but at the same time it's beautiful. I love it, I like it. At the beginning I didn't think to become a teacher because of my mom's experience. Well, she loves her job. She works with children in the primary school. Yeah. I don't work with children. I mostly work with teenagers and adults, I prefer. So I didn't like that word. But then I tried. My first experience was during a internship in Spain, where I had to teach Italian. So they made me, of course, listening before and being with a senior teacher to study, to watch, to learn how to do. And then I tried. And then I discovered this love. I like it. I like helping people reaching their goals, especially I love when people understand that it's very important to learn another language, to live in this world, to even if it's just to travel, but just to be as much as international as much as possible. So it's good. I like it.
I think that I haven't taken any of your classes, but I can tell that you are a really good teacher. Because no, I can tell because you speak very clearly in English and in Italian. You're very passionate about what you do, and you know what it's like to learn a second language. You know what it's like to be abroad, and having to communicate in a language that's not your native language, right? Yeah. And you're enthusiastic about it. I can tell. And yeah. I think those are the things that make a good language teacher. What I was going to say is that you're observant. And, you know, when you talked about teachers you've had in the past and, you know, the way that you talked about learning Russian and Russian related to Polish, like, I think those are all things that a good language teacher needs to have. And I think that really helps students, no matter how they learn or what they need to learn. I think those qualities make you a really good teacher.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, I really like. I like. I have fun with my students, and not everybody is the same. So sometimes I need to try to understand how can I teach, how can I explain this particular topic to this person, or sometimes also I have to break some mental obstacle they have. For example, many people come to me and they say, I don't like English. I never learned English properly at school. I don't know how to speak. It's impossible, and so on. So you have to help them also to go through these mental problems. Or I am afraid to speak in front of native speakers because they speak too fast, for example. So also these stereotypes, people speaking fast. Well, it's something natural that our perception is when you are not, you don't have a very good level, the perception is that people are speaking so fast and they do it by purpose because they don't want me to understand. It's not easy. It's just you have to be patient and listening a lot and practice a lot. But it's possible. People learn Chinese, people learn Arabic, so it's possible, totally possible.
If anyone listening wants to reach out to you, where can we find you? So, you know, if anyone wants to become one of your students.
Normally, like my Italian students or in any case, people who live in Italy, they look for me online because I have some website in which I post my offers or Italian classes, English classes and so on. But these are mainly Italian websites. So for people who are not in Italy, well, now my Instagram, for example, they can, if they want, they can contact me on Instagram, or I'm building my own website in which I'm posting free material, free content to learn Italian with also explanation videos and podcasts where I speak to improve the students' listening skills. So if they want, they can also check for my website.
Great. What is the website?
Well, the name of the project is Languages in Progress. This is okay. The name. So On Instagram, you can find me easily. Also on Facebook, Languages in Progress, these three words. Because the idea was many people don't understand this concept. When you start learning a language, you cannot expect to be fluent in 1 month or sometimes not even in 1 year. It depends on a lot of factors. So it's a process. So you start and you need to keep on. It takes sometimes years to reach a good level. So it's a process. You need to be patient. And it's like going to the gym. You know? When you want to be fit, you go to the gym, I don't know, 3 times a week for many years. But if you stop, then you go back, of course, to the original shape. For languages, it's the same because the brain is a muscle. So you have to practice it as much as possible.
Yeah. I love that. And to end on a high note, the last question I'd like to ask, because I want to end on a high note, is do you have any jokes, fun words, sayings, swear words, tongue twisters, idioms, or general words of wisdom in Sicilian that you can share?
Oh, I have a lot of them.
Oh boy, I'm ready.
Difficult to choose. Yes, there are so many. Of course, in Italian, there are so many, and also in Sicilian. Yes, okay. We can try. We can start with something that it should be easy, I hope. Of course, the literal meaning, translating in English makes no sense. Then, I will explain you the meaning. So okay. The first one that comes to my mind is... this expression, very, very used. The expression is, como veni, si conta. This is the sentence. Como veni, si conta. So, the meaning. Well, literally means like, I will tell what will be. So, make no sense. The meaning is, don't worry about the present. So, if you are not living the problem or the situation that worries you now, but it's something in the future, let's wait for that moment. So, let's wait until it comes. And then you will tell if it's good, if it's bad, or if you have problems and so on. So, it's like relax, take it easy for now, and then you will see, you will judge.
Right. Can I try it?
Yes, sure.
Okay. Say it one more time and I'll.
Yes. Como veni, si conta.
Como veni, si conta.
Perfect. Contare, this verb is raccontare in Italian, to tell.
Oh, okay.
Raccontare. Como veni, veni is the verb venire. So let's wait how the problem or the situation appears or comes, and then you judge. Then you will tell to other people or you will say, how is it? Como veni, si conta. It's like, okay, chill, like relax for now. Then you will think about it.
We have something that may be similar in English. Because mm-hmm. I'm thinking when something, you don't know what's going to happen and it's so far ahead of you, we just say, well, you'll cross that bridge when you get to it.
Perfect. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So don't worry now. Why do you have to worry about something that didn't happen yet?
Exactly.
So, yes, take it easy for now and then you will want it. I think it's a good style of life. Now you have to enjoy the present.
It's perfect.
Okay, then I have another one if you want to try. It's a little bit more difficult, but it's very meaningful.
I think. I'm ready.
So this is sort of, it's not positive, it's negative. I mean, it's not an insult, but the meaning is negative. So when you want to say to someone that for you, this person matters like nothing, it's not important, totally unimportant, you have no value, you're worth nothing. Mm-hmm. So this is the meaning. Instead of using swears, you can be more elegant, but the meaning is strong. So the sentence is, si nudo ha miscato con niente. So I repeat because it's a bit difficult probably. Si nudo ha miscato con niente. Nudo means nessuno, no one. And niente, it's similar to Italian, niente.
Niente.
Nothing. Yes. So
si? Si nudo
ha miscato.
Ha miscato
con niente.
Con niente.
Yes, it means literally you are a mix between nothing and no one. So you're worth nothing. For me, your value is zero, totally zero.
Wow.
So I don't care what you say about me. I don't care what you think, because sin nudo amiscato con niente. So you are nothing to me. It's quite powerful.
That is very, that's strong.
Yeah.
And it sounds so beautiful, though.
I'm glad you like, because I know I like very much Sicilian. It's very musical language.
It
sometimes
is.
Very strong, though. As I said before, Italian is more elegant, I have to say. But it's so powerful, like saying to someone, you are nothing and nobody at the same time. No, you are nothing to me.
Oh my gosh. Dimmi un'altra.
Okay, un'altra. Let me think. Okay, this is like very wisdom. So something that makes you reflect about what you do. I first say the sentence in Sicilian. Fa u bene e scordatillo, fa u male e pensaci. So it's sort of an advice. Fa u bene, so do something good. Fai bene, fai del bene, no? Good actions. E scordatillo. This verb means forget about it. Scordatelo. In Italian, we have a similar one.
Mm-hmm.
So, fa bene scordatillo. Make good actions and forget about it. The second part is fa male e pensaci. So, behave badly or do bad actions and think about it. Pensaci. Think about it. Because the meaning is when you do something positive, you don't do it because you want to show up with people. You are supposed to do it because it's the right thing. You want to do it.
I see.
But when you do something bad, instead you have to reflect on it because you shouldn't do it.
Right.
So, fa bene e scordatillo, fa male e pensaci.
Okay, let me try. Long. I'm going to just repeat after you. Just
okay,
a few words at a time.
The first part is fa bene e scordatillo.
Fa u bene e scudativo?
Yes. Second part, fa u male e pensaci.
Fa u male e pensaci?
Perfect. It's a bit long, yes. But it's also this is powerful, like reflect on what you do, because you don't have to show up when you do good things just because you want to be, the person who seems to be good, but when you do something bad, instead think about it, reflect on it.
Perfect. Ottimo. Mi piace questi. So, Ilaria, thank you so much. Grazie.
Grazie a te.
For having this conversation with me. And I really, really enjoy learning so much about Sicilian from you and so much about your culture and your language.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting. Thank you for listening. It was a pleasure to speak with you.
I really hope that, like I said, I'll put everything in the show notes so that if anyone wants to reach out to you, contact you, they can do so. And I'll put those phrases in there as well so we can all practice. And I can't thank you enough. I'm just smiling from ear to ear. I know you can't see my face, but I feel like I'm so glad that that you had time to have this conversation. So thank you so much, and I'll be talking to you soon.
Perfect. I look forward.
Okay, ciao.
Ciao.
Ciao.